Hi, today is September 11th, 2022. This is Mobius Podcast 422. I'm Todd Agosso and my good friend John Westfall. And we've got our other good friend Sven Johansson. And today we're going to be talking about what I'm beginning to think of as the Apple apocalypse product announcements. Because, quite frankly, the segments they showed were frightening, right? Fire. I mean, cars flipping over, airplanes crashing, people lost in remote areas of the world with no cell phone coverage. It was like the end of the world.
But it's all okay if you have your Apple stuff.
Right, right. Because if you have Apple stuff, you will stay alive in the apocalypse. So
potentially.
So yeah, so the Apple apocalypse edition of product announcements. Three product announcements. I wanted to talk to Sven and John to get their thoughts on it. I should also note that CNN, and this is a non-political thing, so regardless of your political leaning, CNN had an interesting article that it sort of says what I thought, and that is, Apple's latest products and features take aim at our greatest fears. And that is a true statement. But all right, so let's start.
My belief is simply that they had a lot of time this year to fill and not a lot of features to fill it with. I think we're still seeing the feature drop off from the pandemic where things just weren't developed as fast as they thought they were going to be. And, you know, looking especially at the Apple Watch segment of the announcement, it was sort of like, hey, you guys have 40 minutes, so come up with something to talk about. Do another montage. We've got the time.
There you go. There you go. I mean, it was, some of them were frightening. Like it was audio only, but there was one is a young woman and her father had just crashed an airplane that her father was piloting. And she gets a call on her watch, I think, from her grandma. And she says, "Hi, Grandma. I have to call you back later."
Yeah, she's gotten better. Watch on.
And of course, the watch survived the crash, right?
You're watching this, and you know Apple's not going to show the one that didn't go well. So that has probably happened, but it wasn't going to be, you know, the end of the story was a sad ending. So.
And there was another.
It was a little tense.
And there was another one with the car flipping over. I mean, like doing a 180. Looked like something out of the old, for folks old enough to remember, the Dukes of Hazzard TV show. You know, or some other chase show. And there are a bunch of ones like that. It was pretty scary. I mean, I thought they were really going after the fear factor, that one. But they got me because I actually bought one of their new products. And I'm sure Sven has bought everything. But so let's start off with the app. So the iPhone 14, I'm not too interested in, but I'm sure a lot of people are. That's their iPhone 14 Amateur Edition, which, you know, if it's not pro, it must be amateur. And it basically brings up the non-pro iPhones up to last year's pro level, right? I mean, processor-wise and something like that.
I wouldn't say that. You think
no?
So?
It was pretty close, it looked like.
Well, it's using the same chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's using the same chip as last year's phone, so.
Yeah.
But last year's phone, both the pro and the amateur used the same chip.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. So this is the first year they've got different chips in the Pro and the plane.
Yeah.
And, so you're getting a...
Yeah. I'm most interested in the Pro, though, because, well, you know, Pro.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't know, John, did you have any thoughts on the Amateur Edition?
You know, my wife was interested in it. We had talked about it potentially because she's about due for an upgrade. She has an iPhone 10 that's still plugging along. We thought about it. But ultimately, most of the upgrades that she's really interested in keep getting pushed off further and further. So bringing back Touch ID and a few other things, a smaller notch or no notch, or even, you know, the idea that there could be a folding iPhone at some point once Apple figures out how to perfect that. So we ultimately decided not to get it for her. Although, you never know. Her iPhone 10 might just spontaneously die at some point, and she would, I think, be happy with a 14. But it was not in the cards to buy.
Although, you know, I'm not really sure waiting for Touch ID to come back on a phone is a thing.
You know, they are probably thinking about under display stuff. I'm pretty
We've heard
pretty
those
happy
rumors
with,
for a while.
Yeah, we have, but there's a lot of rumors we hear for several years. So,
yeah.
But I'm pretty happy with the Pixel.
They figured out how to do it with a power button. So I think
if they
keep it on the power button for things like the iPad Mini 6, then it might come back in that form for the phone earlier than the under screen.
Yeah, true. Very good point. Yeah, the iPad Mini 6 Touch ID on the power button actually works way better than the front panel button on the old iPhones, in my opinion. Much more reliable. I think I was maybe 50% on the iPhone Touch ID, and the iPad Mini 6 is 100%. It always gets me right, assuming I hit it with the correct finger. So with the Pro, speaking of the notch, so the notch now has a new feature called Dynamic Island, which is the dumbest name I've ever heard.
I thought it was the most epic name ever. I really, in terms of whoever, we often joke about how Microsoft can't name things.
Yes.
But whoever came up with Dynamic Island, that sounds like a novel as well as an actual thing. I'm all for.
I thought it was a reality TV show name,
Could be
that too.
You throw a bunch of people on an island with a live volcano, and I mean a tiny island with a live volcano, not like, Hawaii Island in our state, and say, hey, if you survive, you get $1 million. If you don't, well, good TV.
You're on Dynamic Island.
That's right. That said, dumb name aside, and I read somewhere that people audibly laughed when that was announced, I guess for people who are on site. But that said, I kind of like the idea.
They might be ex-employees now if they were the employees laughing during it.
That said, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that actually works on the iPhone 14 Pro. And
that's one thing that you have to have the 14 Pro to have. It's
right.
It's not on the 14.
Not on the 14.
And it certainly wasn't on any of the betas. We were running on something lesser than a 14 Pro. That was, I think, very well concealed before the fact. You get so many rumors and things about stuff. Most of it was, we know this, or it was one of these two things that were going to happen. We weren't sure which, but this one, I hadn't heard a thing about that at all. I heard a little tiny bit about lights in between the some of the camera sensors, to tell you if your camera was being used or your voice was being recorded. But other than that, hadn't heard a thing. I think it's good use of the space.
Taking a bug and turning it into a feature, it's a great example of that. That notch that we've been talking about getting rid of, nope, that's a feature now. You like that notch. It does things for you dynamically.
Yeah, dynamic island-wise, yep. So it's supposed to show like notifications and other kinds of little bits of information on either side of the notch, right? Based on the demo I saw.
Yeah, it looks like it's, the whole thing, but it's really, if you look closely, it's either side of it. It actually expands the island, the oval.
Yeah,
it expands the oval a little and puts some useful stuff on either side.
Yeah.
And if you tap it, you can bring it down and get more information. So if you get... you got music playing, and it's got maybe a little tiny album art on something, and something you can tap it. And I think it looked like it even had some controls in there that you could, pause or play when you did it. So
it's actually
useful.
Yeah, it's actually a really smart way to cosmetically deal with the notch, which some people don't like. I've kind of gotten used to it over the years, but I know it's not everybody's cup of tea. In fact, it's mine. Does my Pixel have a notch? I see. I don't even know. No, my Pixel doesn't have a notch.
Probably not.
Nope.
Yeah, my
Pixel. And I have a 4A.
Got a hole in the middle.
It's a real old one. But no, I do not have a notch on my 4A, and I know it has a front, at least I think it has a front-facing camera. I've really never used it, interestingly enough, because I don't remember using it. So it's. I'm really looking forward to that. And the always-on display for those of us Pixel users like Sven and me, it was like, well, we've had that for a couple of years now, at least. My 4A is always on display, which is kind of nice. So I can always just open it up, don't have to hit anything, and I can see a time, and I can see the date, I can see a little bit of weather, and a few icon notifications, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, my gripe on that has always been that I've got stands for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, some of them are charging, some of them are not. So the
right.
phone is sitting there looking right at me, and I'm looking over here at my Pixel on this side, and yeah. I've got slideshows of my family and stuff, and over yeah. here I'm looking at my iOS device, and it's black. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing useful there at all.
Yeah, so I am very much looking forward to that, I think. I appreciate it in the Pixel, that's for sure. And my one gripe is that about the new iPhones is that it still has a Lightning connector.
Yes, I'm kind of bummed about that too. Not as much as some people, I think.
Yeah.
I unless I'm trying to do something to test something, I don't think I've had a Lightning cable plugged into my iPhone in years. You know, I've charged magnetic, MagSafe.
Right.
And stuff goes up to iCloud or OneDrive.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi, Bluetooth to headset. So you could get rid of the connector in a lot of cases for me.
You sound very Steve Jobs like. Yeah, no holes.
I'm not joking. I think that the people I've read that complain about it are kind of real enthusiasts. They're really using their iPhone for the capability of the cameras and the,
yeah.
and the video and stuff like that. And now you're trying to get all that stuff off. I mean, you can buy a terabyte iPhone now, trying to get a terabyte yeah. of videos and pictures off.
That can take a while.
You know, at some speed. And when you invited me to this, I started looking and said, I can't find anywhere that tells me exactly what the speed should be or is.
For Lightning?
I keep hearing two things. One, it was USB 2.0, 480 megabits per second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then I read other things that since they went to the USB-C to Lightning cable, I'm sure I saw the iPad Pros, that USB-C connector or that capability is up to 5 gig. So
yeah.
I don't know if the iPhone Lightning connector can actually do more as long as you're using a USB-C cable. And I can't find anything that definitively says that or not.
Right, right.
So that was kind of weird. I was going to, I didn't have the time, but I was going to, unload a whole bunch of pictures off my iPhone onto, I got a new iMac over here.
Or, yeah.
I'm going to try at that and, use my stopwatch and see if I could, get an idea. Because
right.
I don't know how else you get to tell. Because
right.
you can't find it in the specs on their pages.
Well, I still use cables to charge my stuff.
Especially
the stuff that can't be charged without cables, like my iPad Pro and my MacBook and Chromebooks, and they're all USB-C.
And they're all C. Yeah.
Yeah, and so my iPhone, is the last holdout of the previous generation with a Lightning connector of
the stuff I use most. Yeah,
unless
you get the cheapest iPad they make is still Lightning.
Yeah, I guess so.
Of big things, but most all the peripherals. I got a brand new iMac sitting over here. Every one of the peripherals is Lightning.
Really?
I got a touchpad. I got a keyboard. I got a mouse.
Hmm.
They're all. I got headphones, earphones. Earphones. John is wearing.
Yeah.
So,
oh. Yep. Yeah. And
Lightning. The case is Lightning.
I should note if John sounds a little. John sounds a little different. He's trying to experiment this week where he's using a combination of AirPods Pro for his mic speaker setup for the podcast connected to an iPad Pro. So no Mac, no desktop PC, no notebook. And
it's actually Mini 6.
Oh!
Not even an iPad Pro.
Okay.
So that was one thing. I know I've never tried it with the Mini 6 before. We were talking about the... Why is it not USB-C and who's mad about it? And I think, Sven, you're right, that it is the legitimate people who have a gripe with it are the ones that want speed for transfer of data.
Yeah,
I do think there's also a group of people that are just very annoyed because they would, they would like to always have USB-C on everything, and they're just mad that Apple won't get with it. And I don't think Apple will until they're forced or they're ready. But it did remind me of the interaction this week that Tim Cook had with a reporter over RCS. Basically a reporter talked about when are you bringing out RCS support, and Tim Cook's first initial more Correct answer was, well, we don't get a lot of feedback from our users that this is an important feature for them, which I'm not surprised that Apple users wouldn't say that RCS was an important feature for them.
Yep.
And then the reporter pushed back and said, well, you know, I have issues with exchanging texts with my mother. She's on Android. I'm on iOS. And Tim Cook channeling a perfect Steve Jobs response, telling the reporter, well, just buy your mother an iPhone.
There you go.
And, you know, that's... whether you love it or hate it or are indifferent toward it, I do think there are a lot of geeks out there that hate that level of impunity that Apple, you know, will come up with from time to time. But at the end of the day, it's their product, and if that's their mindset, you can either buy their products or not based on it.
You know, they're gonna be like that as long as they're in the top three or five of the world's most valuable companies.
But it's not much different than playing Xbox in a submarine, you know. Yeah. If you remember that.
I remember that. You got to be connected.
Yeah, you got to be connected.
Tough to do in the summer.
If you're not connected, we have an Xbox for you. It's called a 360.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy? But anyway.
He's not working there anymore.
I mean, there is the old joke about the different delivery services in the United States where it talks about, you know, UPS, you'll get sometime here and here, and FedEx, you'll get it at this point, and USPS, you'll get it when we hand it to you.
Right.
And I really do think that Apple is, you'll get USB-C when we put it on there. But, you know, we're not going to tell you in advance, and we're definitely not going to tell you we're doing it. And it'll be probably when regulators force us to put USB-C on there.
Right. Now, the other thing, you know, I forgot
on the RCS point, though, I don't have really any problems conversing with, I've got, my son is Android. His wife, my daughter-in-law, she's iOS.
Yeah. You know, a mixed marriage.
It's a mixed marriage. We don't really have any issues with, you know, texting each other and having group texts and everything like that. It works. You know, it's just when you start getting the weird stuff. If you insist that I have to have totally end-to-end secured group texting, you know, RCS doesn't do that either. So. What the heck? You know, if you want to do a certain fancy, I want balloons to show up in their screen. Blue. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But do you do that with your grandma, you know? Really?
Yeah.
Don't you just say, Grandma, I'm coming over? You
know? Well, you know,
shot of my kid.
The only gotcha I have with non-iPhone users, and they tend to be contractors and, you know, people like that, you know, like, oh, I'm coming over to, you know, do this renovation thing, and I'm making, and they tend to be Android users. I don't know why, but that's fine. And all it means is that I have to respond to them on my iPhone, because my iPad, which will get, you know, iMessage, will not get RCS messages. So, and it's a first world problem. You know, I'm not going to have heartache over it.
I mean, if they're on Android, they shouldn't be sending RCS to somebody that doesn't say they're an RCS client. So the same with SMS.
Yeah, it's really just SMS, actually. But I can't get it on an iPad, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Got that. That's interesting. Yeah. I've never had a problem with SMS on my iPad. Do you have the text messaging forwarding turned on?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's interesting.
And I won't see it on my iPad. I just see it on my iPhone.
Contractors.
Yeah, or see, and I don't see it on my, since I've got my MacBook up. Do I see it in messages? No, I don't see anything. I only see iPhone users. You know, as Apple intended. So there you go. But you know, as an Android user myself, I don't feel left out. Most of the text messages I get on my Android device are spam anyway. So it's not a big deal. Nothing I'm going to respond to and show up as a green bubble to unsuspecting friends, which I'm sure would be shocking to them. You know, one thing I didn't put in our show notes. Oh, John disappeared.
Sean's kind of weird. John, there he's back.
So that's what happens when I minimize the client. You lose my video, but I still hear your audio.
Oh, okay. Oh,
interesting.
You know, iPad mini experiment.
Yeah, good experiment. One thing I forgot to put in the show notes is, I think it's Pro only, is the emergency satellite feature, which I thought, again, you know, in the apocalypse mode.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's Pro only.
Let's check.
Let me look, and I've got the thing open here. So
okay.
But what I think is kind of bad about that is it. I don't think it's got emergency SOS via satellite.
Oh, it is. It is all 14. Yeah. Yeah, it's all 14.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I don't think people are that. They don't quite understand what that is. You know, you sort of make the sound like, I've got SMS satellite phone. I've got SMS and voice over phone, and it's absolutely not that. It's
no,
emergency. It's purely an emergency.
Right.
You know, if you get something going on, you say, I'm going to do something. It walks you through a menu of what's wrong, where are
you? Yeah, a disaster wizard.
Exactly. And you hit the button, you find the satellite, and gets a very slow, transmits that to a center that gets that information to who needs to have it. Absolutely wonderful thing if you really got an emergency, but it's a good thing that it's, you know, 2 years free, and then you're going to
get
charged for it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that when that happens, it's one of those things where you can pay your $50 for the month or whatever it is.
Oh, when you need it.
$95 or whatever. For that month, you're going to be out in the backwoods doing something rather than having to have a subscription. Because satellite phone subscriptions are, even the emergency beacon subscriptions aren't all that cheap. But if you do that kind of stuff all the time, it's worthwhile. It's like having car insurance or life insurance. Or
yeah. I do want to point out that if you plan to, I guess, scale, is that the word, scale Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa?
Yeah.
You don't need it because it now has Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, that's funny, Todd. But there are a lot of places in Colorado that you absolutely
fix it.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in Colorado that you absolutely can get yourself in trouble, and you don't have any kind of cell service at all.
Yeah.
You know, so if you slip and fall down something, you're done for. I mean, they find people, 4 days after, days later.
Yeah.
Those people that took the trouble to tell people where they were going and when they should be back. You know, they retrace their step, look down the side of the cliff, and see them down there.
I'm putting Mount Kilimanjaro Wi-Fi info in our show notes, so I don't forget to share that out.
Next time I'm there.
Yeah, hey, you know.
That's one I would never do. You know, the thing starts with kill a man. Why would you go there?
You know, some people just, they just want to live life to the fullest, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I prefer to not die to the fullest. Yeah, exactly right. I think some other commentator noted that when we get to the Apple Watch, it said the Apple Watch Series 8 with all its health features are for people who want to live longer, and the Apple Watch Ultra with all of its crash detection, enhanced whatevers, for emergency kind of situations are for people who have a death wish, anyway, so I put the article, it's a Smithsonian Magazine, a bunch of other places commented on it not too long ago that Kilimanjaro now has Wi-Fi, I think all the way at the peak, which is sort of amazing to me. But
yeah.
I was going to say, there are parts of Hawaii, as small as we are compared to Colorado, where it is very, very difficult to get any kind of reception of anything. I mean, there's 20% of the Big Island that, when I last looked, that was a while ago, like 10 years ago. Had no wired broadband. And I know, having driven around that island for work, there are lots of places where I had no cell signal at all. I mean, of any kind. So, yeah, you don't have to be in the Rocky Mountains to be sort of out of touch. Definitely, even in a small state like Hawaii, we've got a lot of places where, you are away from civilization, far enough away that you have no cell tower coverage. All right. Anything else about the iPhone Pros or iPhone for that matter to look about? I hope I never have to use a satellite feature, by the way.
Yeah, I can't imagine I ever would, and it's one of those things that, hey, I've got it, but I'm never going to be in a situation where I would need to do that. I would hope.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know that if it integrates with all that other good stuff, like if you roll your car in a desolate highway and you don't have any coverage, does it automatically send that oversat for you? That would be an interesting integration between those things.
Yeah, I think
I don't think it did that.
I think they said that if your airbags, I think they said that if the barometer, which, you know, all of our devices have, I don't know if it's on a watch or the iPhone, but if the Apple iPhone definitely has a barometer, even today, even my 12 has one. If it detects a sudden shift in barometric pressure, it assumes an airbag or something similar has deployed and will send out some kind of beacon, I think.
Well, it used that in conjunction with other things to determine that, yes, in fact, you have been in a crash.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my watch tell me, hey, it looks like you've fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to, you know, and generally it's because I'm using a hammer in the wrong hand or something, because the way I'm standing, and I hear this buzzing on my hand, I says, oh, better shut that off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before it calls 911 on me.
Right.
But I'm wondering if it actually will revert to the SATCOM or the satellite. If you don't tell it, I'm fine. If it will do that. I don't think I heard that say that, but that would be, you know, that would make a lot of sense if it did that. So, say I detected a car crash at, you know, this Latin long, and I had no response from the driver.
You know, I should note that I'm just reading through the page now, and it says that it is not available in Guam or American Samoa, which are, you know, Pacific Island islands like Hawaii.
You can't see the sky from there.
Yeah. And it might not work in places above 60 degrees latitude, such as the northern parts of Canada and Alaska. And
that,
you know,
makes sense.
Those are two places where you would really like to have it.
Yeah.
Having lived in Alaska, I can tell you that.
Yeah. But if you do SATCOM, you know why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're pointing at like the ground to get to a satellite.
To get to a geostationary.
Yeah. So I don't
get something like Elon Musk stuff. You might be able to catch some of those going by.
Yeah, I don't see an emergency, you know, like beacon thing. I'm reading through the page now, but and by the way, the satellite feature will not be available till November of this year. So even if you get your phone right away, and it's supposed to ship this week, or be delivered this week to
Friday.
Some people.
Next Friday. Yeah. This Friday coming up.
You know,
that's
you
when my wife shows up.
Don't expect to get it. I heard that people who ordered I think it's a purple color one, aren't getting it till like next month. So it depends on what color you bought.
We got ours. We got up at, you know, crack of dawn. Yeah.
Had ours. Oh, dark 30.
Pre-set up in a, you know, they every year they have, you know, let you pre-set up and you just have to go into your, and hit that last button.
Yeah.
And we had that and had the alarm set, and she got a purple one. It's supposed to be delivered Friday.
So lucky.
Day they release,
Yeah. I should note that I did not get up early, but I got up at my normal time, which is pretty late because, you know, we're 3 hours behind Pacific in Hawaii. And I managed to get my order out, and I think mine is supposed to arrive on Wednesday, so we shall
see.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the shipment notice this morning and
the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
So I am going to be home all day waiting for my phone.
Yep. Yeah, the 16th is supposed to be the release date.
Right, but let me make sure I read this correctly. Hang on. Let's go to shortcuts and check.
Did you order a case?
Yes, I did.
Case is coming on Wednesday.
Oh. Well, mine says, my order is in progress, iPhone 14 Pro plus one more item.
Okay.
And I got an email this morning saying, and that's just a shortcuts, and I got an email saying that it shipped somewhere. I got to look for it.
Yeah, my wife ordered a case, and the case is supposed to come on Wednesday. The phone is supposed to come on Friday. But, you know, if you're lucky, you're lucky.
Yeah, well, I can only hope. I didn't order a purple one, which is apparently in high demand.
So. It is. There's a show, iMore, and Karen Freeman did a poll. It was like 47% wanted the purple.
Wow, I would not have expected that.
Yeah. I think I'm not surprised at it. It's this very, very popular color.
Interesting. I know nothing about color preferences, and now I'm really curious. I need to go out and see if there's a survey of people's favorite colors. But, you know, I don't order my favorite color. I always order silver because I think it's the, you know, it's not too bright, not too dark.
Yeah.
And I can find it when
I'll get.
You know.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed about the colors. On
what did you want?
Space gray.
Oh, didn't they have that?
No, they have black, that sunshine or goldish thing, purple, and
Silver something whether. Space gray. Yeah. Space gray. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I think we just
Space gray is not one of the colors. It's oh. I mean, deep black is one. And, yeah. And as I recall, Apple's been pretty crummy with their blacks. They tend to scratch a lot. So yeah. I didn't want black anyway. So.
Well, before we move on, I did want to note that the one feature that's not coming this year, there's a little, in fact, there's a, if you go look at the Apple iOS 16, not the iPhone, but the iOS 16 page, it says iCloud Shared Photo Library coming later this year. So that will not come out tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow, right? Because Monday the 12th, iOS 16 gets released to those of us with, you know, older devices, older iPhones, not the iPad.
Yeah.
iPad OS is not going to be available yet. Which is fine because I can't use all the fancy new features anyway. Okay, so Apple Watch. I looked at it. The Ultra's too expensive. The other one's affordable. I'm not sure I want to buy it. What about you guys? You guys going to upgrade any of your watches?
I'm actually thinking of the Ultra, which is kind of stupid for an you know, a septuagenarian that sits on his butt all day. But I think it's a neat. I think it's like got a lot. Neat features. I like the fact that the front is flat as opposed to curved.
Mine is, you're right. Mine is curved.
Yeah, they're curved. Yeah. They're curved for a while.
But it's got an extra
nice
button.
Flat in it. It's got an extra button, which might be useful.
Or something.
John noted that it was, you know, that's something he would want to wear out on a date or something. But, I'm not worried about it.
So right now, I always buy the stainless steel Apple Watch.
Yeah.
That was the first one. Speaking of price, same price. Yeah. So the other reason I always buy that one is because it's versatile in terms of how I want to appear. You know, as a professor, I kind of need some sort of an appearance to look like the stereotypical professor. I don't always do. But when I'm lecturing, I don't want it to look like I'm going to go out on an extreme hike right afterward.
Well, you could be a professor.
I'd rather have the appearance that I might go... Well, I'd rather have the appearance that I'm going to go back to my office and put on my smoking jacket and puff on my pipe while sipping, you know, some alcoholic beverage. So that is, you know, the sort of vibe I go for. I like the Ultra in the addition of that act of the, you know, activity button. I do think that would be nice to see backported to the regular Apple Watch, and I suspect it probably will be in Apple Watch Series 9. You know, this is the launching ground for it. But I don't know. I'm tempted by it. I would be lying if I said I wasn't. But I really thought going into the announcement on Tuesday that I was going to buy something, and I thought it was going to be an Apple Watch Series 8. Mm-hmm. And I've decided I'm going to hold out another year on the Series 6 because I'm just not seeing huge reason to go to 8. And Ultra, I'll wait to see if that activity button comes to the Series 9. If it doesn't, maybe I'll do an Ultra next year.
Yeah, so I'm reading the description for that new orange button, which is called the action button, and it says it gives you physical control over a variety of function. It's customizable and can do things like control a workout, mark a compass waypoint, or begin a dive. So it's a programmable button, which is interesting, I guess. International orange, that's the color.
And it looks like it's got an orange band on it.
A programmable button is a new innovation for Apple. They're not very interested in you having programmability of things, except backtap accessibility, which for whatever weird reason is extremely customizable in that it can trigger a shortcut, it can do a bunch of random weird things, but nobody even knows it exists unless you play around with the accessibility features on your iPhone.
Well, you know, I think you're right about that. You know, they took away the touch bar from the MacBook Pros, which, as I said, I thought was dumb when I first heard about it. And now that I've had it for a couple of years on my 2019 model, I kind of like it, you know. So I'm trying to see what else it does, though. But what else does it do aside from being bigger and more expensive?
Well, it has for people who care, it has twice the depth with the water resistance or waterproofness. Mm. So you can actually get somewhere with it.
Right.
It's got, it uses L1 and L5 for GPS, so you get a much more accurate GPS on it.
Yeah.
I think the ruggedness, it's titanium,
which is
kind of interesting. What was interesting to me, I think, and John kind of alluded to it a little bit, is the stainless steel watch is like $749 for the bigger one.
Yeah.
This $799 mm-hmm. and one size, that's it. So it's about, it's the same price as the stainless steel in a titanium watch with a sapphire crystal with a better GPS with the more water resistant with the additional features on it. You know, I don't, I think it's a pretty darn decent price for the thing. You know, if you need
that's what you want,
it's a heck of a decent price.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're having to buy, you know, something and then buy your dive watch and then buy your, now if you're a real diver, you go get a dive watch. But if you're a, you know, just a casual diver, somebody would, that would never buy a dive watch because they're expensive, you might get this and it would be helpful.
I was watching MKBHD's review of the Ultra, and I thought he summed it up very nicely in saying that it really looks like Apple went out to athletes who, and it said, how many of you use an Apple Watch? And then all the ones that said yes, they ignored, and they went to the ones that didn't and said, why aren't you using an Apple Watch? What are the features that would get you to an Apple Watch? Because, you know, you think about the direction they could have gone, as he pointed out, you could have gone from a Garmin and made everything up to that, or gone from an Apple Watch and added features that a Garmin would have. And so I do think that we're going to see divers and others that are saying, you know, that was the hang-up, that I wasn't going to go for an Apple Watch, and now they've got it. So we'll see. This might be Apple, because as much as we would like to think Wear OS is the competition for an Apple Watch, it is not. It's the Garmin's and the professional, you know, high-end athlete watches that are really cutting into Apple's dominance.
Wait till October 6th, by golly. You'll have a Pixel watch that'll do everything in the world, even SATCOM.
You know, one of the other new features,
it would be nice to have something on that that would, you know, make me consider not having an Apple Watch. I would love to see Wear OS get to that level.
Yeah, I think one of the, I don't know if the new feature is limited to the Ultra or is it in the Series 8, but it's temperature sensing. But it's not the way John and I wanted it or discussed it, where it's kind of always giving you your body, at least your skin temperature. It only measures it at night, which is what my Fitbit does. So my Fitbit Charge 4, which I've had for a couple of years now, does the same thing. It measures my body temperature at night only, at rest, I guess. And it doesn't give me the actual, you know, temperature in Fahrenheit or Celsius. It just tells me, based on my personal baseline, if I'm up or down from normal.
Yeah, and the 8 does.
And the 8 does. The regular 8 does too. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I looked at it. I don't feel a need to have my cycle tracked, so that wasn't a real big seller for me.
You probably don't have an ability to have it tracked, so that would kill it right there. Yeah, if you have an Aura ring like I do, there was really nothing in the Apple Watch Series 8 that was remotely interesting, because that, you know, I've had the temperature differences for a while.
Oh,
and I intend to keep using my Aura ring as well as my Apple Watch.
Oh, that's right. So. You've got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me on the watch, I'm very interested in the Ultra. Not that I have any need for it, but there's a lot of features on there. It'd be fun to play with. But there's nothing in the 8 that would make me change from a 6. And then my other issue is where I work. I can't wear the watch or take the phone. So, you know, it would be a weekend watch. And I don't know if I want to pay $800 for a weekend watch.
By the way, I don't know if it makes a difference, but I just looked up the trade-in value. The Apple Watch Series 6 is up to $125 trade-in value.
Ooh. Woo.
What do we pay for this?
I really do think, as I was watching that the announcement, that Apple basically told the watch team, you've got 40 minutes, and oops, all those features you were hoping for, they're going to be pushed off to next year or the year after, so fill it. And that's why we saw so much, you know, on the Apple Watch will save your life angle, because that because they could have done those years ago. Ever since they introduced cellular, they have done them here and there. But there was just a lot in that announcement that I felt they needed to fill an hour and a half, and the features aren't ready yet.
Yeah. What does the Apple Watch Series 8 cost? Is it still, I don't know.
Still the same price, I think. Let me look here. Yeah. Look at order now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing I found interesting is if you're looking at the watch, the regular aluminum Series 8, you can buy that, and you get a choice of whether you want a GPS or GPS and cellular. I don't see that option in the stainless.
Oh, oh.
And there is no option for that in Ultra.
Yeah.
You get cellular.
The stainless has always had cellular.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says Apple Watch Series 8 starts from $400, basically.
Yeah, $399, and that's be the small version.
Right. And so what's the one for, like, people with not small wrists?
I'm right there.
Yeah.
$429.
Okay, so it's not that much more. No. So basically, if you trade in your watch, you pay about $300, which is not bad.
If you add cellular to it, it's $529.
Yeah, yeah, which I don't.
One, so $100. Yeah. I do. I found it very useful.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For one thing, you absolutely do not need to bring your phone with you.
If you forget
your phone or something, you do have a phone.
Right. That's a good point. I think that was John's point, too.
Keep calls. Receive calls, make calls.
Yeah. I should note, I did, for the first time ever in my whole life, I traded in a phone. I'm trading in my 12 Pro for the 14 Pro. And Apple claims I'm going to get $430 back because it's in good condition, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we will see. And that made it much more affordable. That made it easier for me to decide to buy this as I approach retirement.
Yeah.
And it will be much poorer, but that's okay.
Actually, you know, if you don't mind, being locked to a carrier, they have some phenomenal
deals,
right? AT&T and T-Mobile, I think both are $999.
Wow.
And I could trade in my 12 Pro and get $999 credit on it. And the way they do that, it's kind of interesting. We didn't do that this year because wife is getting tired of, they've been moving it out from 24 months to 30 months to 36 months. And the way they do it is they take that $1,000 and divide it over 36 payments, and each month you get that portion back. You get the whole thing back as long as you stay the 36 months.
Right.
So the bill looks like, you know, $40 for the watch.
Right.
With a $35 rebate.
Right.
Portion of that thing. So you're paying $5 for the new phone each month.
Right.
Which is not a bad, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you can keep it for 3 years, that's cool.
Right, right.
So we didn't do that because her original one was 24 months, and that's okay. I'm keep a phone for 24 months, then trade it in, get a new one. 36 months starts getting, you know.
Yeah, and I'm still debating whether or not to trade in my 4A for a 6A. The 6A has not been getting good reviews, so.
On a Pixel?
On the Pixel side, yeah.
Yeah. I traded in my 4A for the 6 Pro.
Oh, the good one, yeah.
$800 at AT&T.
At AT&T, yeah.
Yeah. But mine's a 30 month. They were doing 30 times.
Mine is on Google Fi, so
but,
I'm locked.
You know,
Google
so
Fi.
So a four alpha that I got from Woot for $299, I thought an $800 trade in was decent.
That's pretty good. All right, and last but not least, and I'm debating on this. I'm kind of curious what you and John are doing. The AirPods Pro second gen.
Got mine on order.
I should have guessed.
That's the only thing I ordered.
Very tempted. Yeah, that would be the only thing I would order. And the only reason I haven't is that both of my AirPods Pro, which are the original generation of AirPods Pro that I ordered on launch day, have been replaced because they were, you know, they were crackling and had issues.
Right.
So Apple replaced both of the right and left for free. So I just have the original case over here. But I do like the new case. I like all the upgrades. I'm really going to be interested to see what the reviews say about the personalized noise canceling and the personalized Atmos and lossless and all that stuff. Because that is really good on the AirPods Pro already.
And I don't know what 2X...
I've been through a lot with these AirPods Pro, so I'll hold them out a little longer.
Yeah, and I don't know what 2X or 2x better noise cancellation means exactly. You know, that's not clear to me.
Yeah, I don't know how you test that.
It means that you can cancel noise from more rows away from you in the airplane. Or something. I don't know either.
You yeah. have but, more plausible deniability when your spouse says, "Didn't you hear me screaming?"
Yeah. The yeah, it's as far as the noise canceling, it you know, I imagine it's got to be better. It's two years newer. But even then, when I first got the AirPods Pro, I've always had Bose headsets to travel with, and they're excellent. And I figured, well, I've got these AirPods, I should try them, and I did them. You know, I haven't traveled on airplanes a lot, but it does an extraordinarily good job on an airplane.
Yeah.
So I haven't even taken my Bose with me anymore because they're good enough.
I can't even leave my home with my AirPods Pro because they'll fall out of my ears. And if they're in my home, I have a fighting chance of finding them, you know? So yeah. I don't even take them, like, outside my door.
Well, the new ones have a high, you know, a louder beep for, you know, supposedly when you lose them.
And I think there's a extra large, you know, fitting on it now. It used to be just three
small.
Options.
Extra,
oh, it's
small.
Extra small? That's no good for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's a smaller one.
I need a bigger one.
I don't know if that'll do any good. But
Yeah. So the one thing that I did find interesting, and I don't think I have this on mine, is it has a volume control in the stem where it can gesture up and down.
Yeah, ones don't, the new ones do.
Yeah. So that's, to me, that would be the biggest draw for me, oddly enough.
A lot of people have wanted that, but if you remember, and you have an Apple Watch, you can use the stem, the crown on your watch.
Right. And I never remember that.
I never
remember that. The other feature I thought was clever, but I'm not sure I would use it, is you can charge the Gen 2 on your Apple Watch inductive charger.
Yeah, that surprised the heck out of me.
Yeah. I guess that's a thing, you know?
Yeah, that's the only charger you have. But it's a nice thing to have.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, for people who travel, that'd be great, right? I mean, it's one less thing to carry. You only need to charge your watch once, and then it's good for the day, and then maybe charge your AirPods in between. And Sven is going through his gadget box.
This is tacky Apple Watch charger. So it's that big.
Uh-huh.
It's just a little square thing with a USB-C sticking out the side of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not even on a six-foot cable. So stick that in the side of your MacBook or whatever, or even the little anchor, you know, stick it on the little anchor.
And have 30 like watts of power charging your
plug
watch.
It in a, yeah. Well, it's power delivery, so that's it'll do what it needs to do. So, that sounds like a neat feature.
Yeah, and I got to say, USB-C power delivery PD ports are like the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
That changed my life, seriously. I mean, you know, I just have one thing sitting on my desk, and I plop down a Windows laptop, a MacBook, a Chromebook, whatever, and I just plug in one cable, and that's all I need. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, around here, I can take one charger, and I can charge my Surface, I can charge my Pixelbook, I can charge my MacBook, I can charge the AirPod, I can charge the, you know.
Yeah.
I can charge anything with it.
We've come a long way since.
HP, I mean, laptops. You know.
I think we all traveled at one point. I mean, I think we used to compare notes when we used to meet up in person, saying, "Hey, how many chargers are you carrying with you?" You know, power strips. And in fact, I remember Sven showed me this really cool power strip where the little cable, like there was a 3-foot cable or 2-foot cable, folded over, and I said, "I got to get me one of those," and I did.
Yeah.
You
got these things.
What's that?
That is a fold-up thing that does two. It has one MagSafe, one Apple Watch,
right,
and a Qi charger.
Yeah.
So you could charge the Pixel, the Apple Watch, or your AirPods, phone, you know, and it just
that's pretty
like
cool.
That. And it's USB-C.
Does it like go to 200 degrees when you have all three charged?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I think the reason is because the watch charger is by itself.
Ah,
you know, it's not integrated. It's the only thing I charge on that one center thing is the watch. I honestly believe that the problem with AirPower was the fact that the watch and everything else was slightly different frequencies, and they were starting to they were interfering
resonate
with each other.
Or interfering,
resonate,
okay.
And, yeah. Resonate. interfering with each other, and that's what heated it up.
All right. Well,
if they'd get the watch on just plain old Qi, I think
Yeah. Well, that was pretty much it for the Apple apocalyptic announcements last week, Wednesday. I thought it was interesting, nothing earth-shaking. Well, except for, all the things where the earth was actually shaking in the demo videos. But except for that, which was, like I said, frightening, apocalyptic. But on a non-apocalyptic thing, although it could be used during the apocalypse, so John got something new in that he's been waiting for. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I had mentioned on episode 418, we talked about when YouTubers create their own gear, and I had ordered the backpack from Linus Tech Tips, and it did arrive on Thursday. So I had set it up over the weekend, and I'm ready to start using it this week. But one of the things, there are two things about it that shocked me as someone who has used a number of tech backpacks. Two things we'll go with. The first is just how heavy it is without anything in it, because I'm sort of used to tech backpacks having quite a bit more weight to them than I think they should. This one is 2.5 kilograms as a shipping weight, which comes out to 5.5 pounds by itself. So pretty lightweight of a bag, and that's probably because it doesn't do a lot of different compartments. In fact, one of the main compartments is just a giant cavernous compartment, which is something I would love, because I have a bunch of little tech organizers if I really want to carry things that need to be organized. But most of the time with a bag, I just need to shove a bunch of stuff in there, workout gear, food, water bottle, anything like that. So that's going to be useful, I think. And the second thing is, it is a very boxy looking bag. It's not a very stylish, sleek backpack, which I don't really care about, but it stands on its own without anything in it. It doesn't tip over, which is always
been a square
peeve of mine with backpacks.
Or boxy.
Because it is square, even if you've got all of your gear in the front and nothing in the back, it won't tip over on its front, which has always been a big annoyance of mine with backpacks. So I'll be curious to give kind of my thoughts as I daily drive it for a while.
Yeah.
That will be the true test to see how long it stays as my daily driver, because I'm a chronic bag switcher. So we will see. It's big for a daily driver for me, but it's also light and it doesn't fall over, so it might stick around for a while.
Yeah, I've actually gone small over the years, or smaller over the years. Not, I guess maybe small is not the quite correct word. It's bigger than it probably should be, as people always comment to me, why do you always carry so much stuff?
Because I have so much stuff.
Well, it's funny.
It doesn't do me any good if it's at home.
And Sven and
small
John,
is,
For
geeks, small is not that useful, even if you don't carry a lot. Because the two things I carry that I always will carry are my MacBook and my iPad Pro 11-inch.
Yeah.
And so all the small bags that I could buy won't carry both of those at the same time. They might carry one or the other. So you're kind of forced either into a larger bag or
carrying multiple
bags.
Right,
yeah,
which I did also.
That's a no-go.
Yeah.
In my years of scouting, we did some backpacking and stuff, and backpackers are always looking for lighter and multiple-use stuff. And I was always known for having 70 pounds of 2-ounce items.
I was just gonna say, as geeks, we just tend to carry a lot of stuff, right? I mean, people always go, hey Todd, do you got a USB-C to lightning cable? Oh yeah, you need one?
Yeah, how many do you need?
Keep it, I've got three. I've got three with me.
Yeah.
Do you have a PD port charger in your backpack? Oh yeah, you need to charge something? Here you go.
Need a battery that'll run any device you want for 6 hours? Sure, I got that.
Yeah, right?
Dig it out.
Right? And also, my battery charger is also my MiFi.
I'm going to start carrying a SCSI cable just in case somebody asks.
Yeah. RS-232. RJ-11, which we used to do. In fact, was it you, Sven? I know some of my friends used to carry a little toolkit back in the days when hotels did not have RJ-11s. They used to take apart the phone jack so they could plug in their, their analog modem.
Yeah, some alligator clips. And you're great. Good to go.
I'm sure this made hotel staff just thrilled with us.
Oh, just carry an analog coupler like everyone else.
Yeah. It was a coupler. You're right. It was a coupler. It wasn't even just a regular modem. It was like an acoustic coupler.
Acoustic coupler. Just put that phone in.
Yeah. Ah, the good old days. You know, the good old days were not that good.
No. They were old. They weren't that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for people that are living right now, you can scare the heck out of by just telling them, you know, these are the good old days. This is it.
I know. You know, I tell my daughter stories about traveling with no cell phone because there were no cell phones and, you know, things like that.
It's recently become very interesting to me to listen to podcasts that are talking about the 2000 era. Uh-huh. And having the detail they have to give to younger listeners to get them to appreciate things, like the idea that you couldn't look up a biography on anyone at any time, because maybe the only biography that was up was from their corporate webpage, and that was only what they wanted you to know. There was no Wikipedia that you could consult. And it's just interesting to hear these podcast hosts that are aware of their audience demographics talking about these things and filling in details that I know inherently how the web was in 2000, but I don't think about, you know, I would have to tell that to someone or communicate to someone just what they take for granted.
Right. You know, it's funny. I'm listening to, aside from apocalyptic novels, I also love time travel novels, and sometimes they're both. But I'm listening to one novel. I should say I don't read novels anymore because I don't. Just Audible, just a lot easier. So I'm listening to one now called Lost in Time. And a little bit of a spoiler, but part of the novel occurs in, I think, 2008. And that's considered a long time ago. And they talk about people having Blackberries, you know, like it's really strange and stuff. But at any rate, it's actually a pretty good novel. Starts a little slow, and then the twists and turns make it pretty interesting. So I recommend it. Lost in Time. What's the author's name? I know the last name is Riddle. A.G. Riddle. Like as in, I have a riddle for you. Any rate, that's about it for this podcast. Let's see if Teams cuts me off at 1 hour. Did once. Let's see. 1 hour.
No, I had. No, I don't think.
Nope. We just hit 1 hour, 3 seconds, and we have not been cut off. So
Our listeners will probably cut us off after an hour. So
that's right.
It's probably good to wrap up anyway.
You know, and I schedule these meetings using Google Calendar with John and Sven and other friends. And, you know, Google Calendar being Google automatically assumes you want to use Google Meet, which we do not use. And it's because I've never been able to record properly off Google Meet. But at any rate, when it does, it tells me, like when I set up this calendar event, it said, oh, and by the way, you know, we set up Google Meet for you, but you're limited to 1 hour because, you know, you don't have a pro subscription, whatever, and you go, whatever. But okay. Hey, Sven, thanks for joining us. I think Google has another announcement coming up soon, like a hardware event.
October 6th.
Is it October 6th?
Okay. October 6th, yeah.
So
Pixel 7 and the watch.
Oh, boy. They're not going to announce the new Android tablet yet, right? That's next year.
Yeah. Hear anything about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next time I have some words to say about, not my Android tablet, but my newish Google Chromebook, a Lenovo Chromebook Duet 5, which is actually about a year old product-wise, but I only got it like a month or two ago. And I'm surprised at how I'm not using it. But because I really had high hopes for it. It's not what I expected, and now I'm looking for an actual Android tablet versus Chromebook that has a detachable keyboard. Alrighty, thanks to my good friend John Westfall, and thanks to Sven Johansson, and we will talk to you next time.